version of Don't Need a Gun, which is actually, I don't know if I have the, I don't think I have the courage for this on a you know, early on a Sunday morning. The other side of this 12-inch thing, I got some kind of a test pressing or something from, I don't know what this is. But it says that on the other side of it, there's no label on it or anything. So on the other side, there is supposedly a version of Don't Need a Gun that is described in parentheses as the Meltdown Mix. You know how they put out different mixes of the thing, you know, the dance mix and the extended mix and the this mix and that mix and the dub mix and, you know, the acapella voice percussion. I don't, you know, and I'm cool with all those, but I don't know if I'm prepared for the Meltdown Mix this morning, you know? I think we're going to pass on that here on Idiot's Delight. On 92.3 K-Rock, have I identified the station and the show and me? I'm Vince Scalza. And so there was Don't Need a Gun. And then finally, from West Africa, that was Youssou N'Dour. He was extremely popular, like the top pop musician in West Africa. And he was on the Peter Gabriel tour and has recorded on a lot of Western rock and rollers albums. Was on the Paul Simon album and a bunch of other things as well. Youssou N'Dour, and that's from an American release, an album entitled Nelson Mandela. Okay, Youssou N'Dour from West Africa. And so here we are. I wasn't here last week. Thanks, Bob Waugh. Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Johnny, for filling in. I got felled by... Well, technically, I got felled by that one of the strains of flu that's floating around that's felling everyone from one extent to another. Although I, now, you know, like, to normal people, I say, well, I had the flu. Yeah, a little stomach virus. You know, it's like one of those 24-hour, 36-hour, 48, you know, like tops 48 hours, but then it leaves you wasted for like 3 days, you know? And normal people accept that as an answer for why you didn't go to work. The real reason. The real, I can tell you guys, because you guys aren't normal, you know. Well, what, it's 9:30 on a Sunday morning, you're up listening to this? You want to be considered normal? The real reason why I couldn't get to work last week was it's a great Scrabble word. The word is syzygy. Are you familiar with the word? S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Sometimes they consider Y to be a vowel. Sometimes. I mean, A-E-I-O-U, right? But sometimes don't they think of Y? Because there's no vowels in syzygy, except if you consider the Y as a sort of a vowel there. But that's a great Scrabble word. S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Because you need like a lot of blanks or something, I guess, because there aren't three Ys in Scrabble, are there? And the chances of having whatever, however many Ys there are, plus the blanks, plus the Z, probably relatively... a few, but if you ever have the opportunity, do syzygy, and then when they all look at you and go, what is that, syzygy, challenge, you could say it's the reason why Skelsey didn't go to work last week. It's because there was this rare alignment of the sun, the moon, and the earth. You know, it was like the first time in 18 and a half years or something like that. That was the thing, that was the problem that was causing all of the tides, the bad tides up and down the East Coast and all around the world, really. A week or so ago, remember? Yeah, I know you can remember a week or so ago. It wasn't that long. It was like, you know, right around New Year's. Oh, New Year's, okay, oh. Syzygy. And it, see... The human body is what, 75% or 80% water, something like that? This thing, I mean, it affected tides, it affected water, it affected gravity. This rare alignment only happens every 18 or 19 years or whatever it is. You know, the sun, the earth, and the moon lined up in such a way that it threw everything out of whack, including me. My body just went... I just mutated into some weird creature, unable to deal with anything other than feeling this. But see, I can share these kind of intimate thoughts, these things that you know, one wouldn't call up one's mother, for instance, and say, Ma, I feel so bad, Ma. And Mom would say, Why, what's the matter, sonny? Syzygy, Ma, the earth, the moon. And the sun, they're lined up in such a way that they're pulling all the water out of my body. Ma, I can't stand it. I'm going crazy, Ma. You can't, you know, you just can't call up your mother with something like that. But I know I can talk to you guys about it. Thanks for being there.
What makes New York's daily numbers so much fun to play? To find out, we're asking experts on fun. You, sir, are...
A monkey.
A monkey?
Yes, a monkey.
Yes, I thought so. The tail sort of...
Gave it away, I know.
But you're tall for a...
A monkey, it's true.
And just where do you live?
In a barrel.
In a barrel?
Full of monkeys.
So for you to think New York's daily numbers is fun, it would have to be more fun than a barrel of monkeys. Of course, you know that New York's daily numbers is the game you play every day.
So that means fun every day? Some days it's not much fun in the barrel.
Enough monkeying around.
Oh, don't get cute.
I'm sorry. And with New York's daily numbers, you can win money every day.
I never win money in the barrel.
And all you have to do is pick three numbers.
Pick three numbers? Play any day? Win any day?
And it all happens wherever you play Lotto.
It does sound like fun.
More fun than a barrel of monkeys.
Look, to tell you the truth, there's not much fun in the barrel. It's hot, it's crowded.
Why don't you move out?
Are you kidding? It's a jungle out there.
Well, there you have it. New York's daily numbers. Fun every day wherever you play Lotto. If you don't think it's fun, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
Don't let my aunt hear you say that.
Ah, yes, friends, life in the barrel. Life in the Barrel has reflected on the radio with a wide variety of music on a Sunday morning, as well as a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Scrabble tips and all. Every once in a while, a recipe. Syzygy. S-Y-Z-Y-G-Y. Another good Scrabble word is xiphoid. But I forget how to spell it. Xiphoid. Z-Y. You have a bone, around the front of your ribs, it's a point. It's where your rib cage comes to a point, like right around the your sternum. Not your sternum. What is it? I don't know anatomy at all. But it's called the xiphoid process. Z-Y-P-H-O-I-D, or does it have an X in it? I can't remember. Ah, darn! This is why I'm no good at Scrabble. The reason why I know about it is because I have a pronounced one. I thought it was a horrible lump of some malignant. some malignant tumor, and it's weird. I've evidently had it all my life, but I never knew about it until I lost weight. Have you ever lost like a lot of weight, and all of a sudden you start to feel your bones? If you were like, you know, really overweight, you'd forget that you have bones because you can't get to them. It's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of flab in between. So I lost a whole bunch of weight, and I'm touching myself one day, you know, feeling my bones, and going, oh, look at that, I got ribs. Oh, look at that, I got a hip. Oh, look at that, wow, a knee. I knew I had a knee in there somewhere. And I'm sort of touching around my chest, and I feel this thing, this heart, this lump, this brick-like huge ball, this thing that was like a, you know, hard ball, man. It was like, oh, God, what is that? I'm going to die. This is worse than syzygy. This is malignancy. Another good word for Scrabble. Too long, I think. Put the get a malignancy on a triple word, man. You probably win the game, huh? So I went to my doctor, and my doctor said, poor boy, that ain't nothing to be worried about. That's simply your xiphoid process. It is pronounced. It is unusual and rare that someone would have one that resembles such a horrible thing. Nobody is ever going to want to touch you there. But have no fear. So I didn't believe my doctor. I didn't believe her at all. I said, hey, come in. Whoa, I went and had 32 x-rays taken in my chest because I didn't believe it was a bone. So I want to dedicate the show this morning to Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts, as you probably know, speaks with God. God speaks with Oral. And this past week, God told Oral that the best way to raise money, he needs about $4.5 million from his followers because they need some money for the some kind of a research center or something like that that he's trying to put some money together for. And God evidently told him that he should tell his followers that if they didn't send the money, he would die. Did you hear about this? I'm asking you to help me extend my life, Roberts told his television audience Sunday from his home base in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We're at the point where God could call Oral Roberts. The evangelist, who will be 69 years old this January 24th, said God told him that raising the possibility of his death was necessary to get the attention of his followers. So I think I don't know whether God talks to people or not. Maybe he does, or it does, or she does, or whatever God is, you know? I don't know. Maybe, you know, I mean, I've had, I don't think I've had the pleasure. I've heard voices from time to time, but I'm pretty sure they weren't God. So I think that, like, you know, let's be fair about it. Most people who go around saying that God talks to them, I don't know about Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts is a heavy-duty evangelist. You know, he's got an inside track to, you know, he's got some pull, right? So I'm not talking about Oral. But if, like, one of your friends said, hey, God talked to me the other night and told me to do this, that, and the other thing, you'd probably figure that your friend was deluded and was inventing it. If you're going to invent a message from God, this is a pretty weird message to invent. But you gotta give him credit for chutzpah. Now, I know Oral Roberts wouldn't particularly necessarily want to be told that he's got chutzpah, but he certainly got chutzpah in this particular case. They either send him $4.5 million or God's going to knock him off. What a heavy thing for his people to have on their conscience, their collective conscience. If I was a believer, man, I'd certainly put $5 or $10 in the mail immediately. I wouldn't want that on my head. So what do you say we dedicate Idiots Delight this morning to Oral Roberts and to those people who hear voices from above, those people who converse with the good Lord?
Oh, God said to Abraham, kill me a son. They said, man, you must be putting me on. God said, no. They say, what? God said, you can do what you want, Abe, but next time you see me coming, you better run. Well, Abe said, where you want this killing done? God said, all on Highway 61. Sam, he had a bloody nose. Welfare department, they wouldn't give him no clothes. He asked poor Howard, where can I go? Howard said, there's only one place I know. Sam said, tell me quick, man, I got to run. Oh, Howard just pointed with his gun and said, that way down Highway 61. Finger said to Louis the King, I got 40 red, white, and blue shoestrings and 1,000 telephones that don't ring. Do you know where I can get rid of these things? And Louis the King said, let me think for a minute, son. Then he said, yes, I think it can be easily done. Just take everything down to Highway 61. One right. My complexion, she says, is much too white. He said, come here and step into the light. He says, you're right. Let me tell the second mother this has been done. But the second mother was with the seventh son, and they were both out on Highway 61. He was very bored, trying to create a next world war. He found a promoter who nearly fell off the floor. He said, I've never engaged in this kind of thing before, but yes, I think it can be very easily done.
Weitergekommen, der nach dem Anschlag. after 20 years of boredom. But trying to change the system from within. I'm coming now, I'm coming. Take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. I'm guided by a signal in the heavens. I'm guided by the birthmark on my skin. I'm guided by of our weapons. First, we take Manhattan. Then we take Berlin. I really like to live beside you, baby. I love your body and your spirit and your glow. Cry and laugh about it all again.
At the Chelsea Hotel here in New York, where lots of interesting works of art of one form or another have been created over the years. Leonard Cohen. And a Leonard Cohen song before that, a song called First We Take Manhattan from Jennifer Warren's new album, which is an album called Famous Blue Raincoat, which is an album of Leonard Cohen songs. Jennifer Warren's, who has from time to time performed with Cohen on record, and he in fact returns the favor here, as well as being the composer of all the songs on the album. There's some old ones and some new ones as well on Jennifer Warren's album Famous Blue Raincoat. First We Take Manhattan. If you were a priest before that, from Robin Hitchcock and the Egyptians, and Talk to Me from Southside Johnny Nasbury Duke. Sorry about the lousy condition of that record, but it was in lousy condition, skipped all over the place, and it didn't look as if the conversation was ever going to begin. But we managed to get through it, as we managed to get through everything here on Idiot's Delight, in one way or another, on Sunday mornings, on WXRK New York, 92.3 K-Rock. Talk to Me from Southside Johnny and Bob Dylan's classic Highway 61 Revisited. God said to Abraham, Abraham, tell them to send you $4.5 million by April, or forget it. You are doomed, my friend. You and your son both. In literary news, if you're an Elmore Leonard fan, you know that Elmore Leonard's new novel is out, and it's good. It's called Bandits. It was one of the things I was reading while my body was a victim of syzygy. I tried to get away with that with my shrink, my psychologist, you know, because I was going through some other things too, some head things. So I said, well, the reason why I had these head things is because of syzygy, the Earth, Moon, and the Sun. And he just looked at me and said, come on. You know, I mean, there's like, there are certain people you can hoodwink, and then there are others who you can't. You know, it's like, I could never fool my father into thinking that I took a bath when I didn't. Part of the problem was because I would forget to take off my socks. You know, and I'd do the whole thing. I'd fill the tub, I'd splash around, I'd even put soap in it and stuff, you know, and make sure that there was like water dripping on the floor, and then I'd wet the towel. And I take off all my clothes, and I put my pajamas on, I put my bathrobe on, and I'd brush my teeth, because I didn't mind brushing my teeth, I just didn't want to take a bath. And then I'd leave the bathroom, and the old man would look at me and go, hey. I said, yes, Dad. Get back in there and take your bath. But I took a bath, Dad. No, you didn't. How do you know? I still have my socks on. You don't put your socks back on after you take a bath. Certain people you can't hoodwink. I can't hoodwink my shrink. You know, I guess that means he's a good shrink for me or something. You know, I can't hoodwink my wife, and I can't hoodwink my daughter. So I mean, those are all like good people not to be able, because you don't want to hoodwink them anyhow. You know, I mean, these are like important people. But I sort of wanted to try and slide syzygy past the guy. You know, because it would have taken a lot of pressure off me. I wouldn't have had to have been responsible for some stupid things that I did last week, you know? But he gave me the look, and the look said, no, we're not buying that story. So I was reading Bandits by Elmore Leonard. The neat thing about Bandits, now, you're either an Elmore Leonard fan or you're not, you know? And if you're an Elmore Leonard fan, you've already bought the book and read it. I mean, because that's how Elmore Leonard fans are. They, you know, the radar, man, just sucks up the vibes. And I had no idea this book was coming out. But the second it hit the shelves, I happened to be in a bookstore and drawn to it. Elmore Leonard's Bandits. I don't know if you've never read an Elmore Leonard. I don't think this is the one to start with, though. I would go back and read maybe Glitz first, or probably I would read Stick. I would start with Stick and then sort of work back to all the early ones and then come on up to the latter ones. The thing about this one that's different, it's standard Elmore Leonard stuff. I mean, it's the style, and it's the characters, and it's the dialogue, and it's everything that Elmore Leonard fans dig about Elmore Leonard. But the neat thing is that he's managed to make this one very topical as well, in that it deals with the Contras in Nicaragua to a certain extent. Part of the plot revolves around a right-wing colonel from the Contras who was in New Orleans attempting to raise funds for the Contras through private donations by simpatico rich Americans. You know, it's so weird when you think that, like, I mean, Elmore Leonard was probably writing this book 2 years ago. And to have it come out now in January, or, you know, whenever it, I guess it came out sort of at the end of December. I mean, the official release date is now, January. To have it come out now in the middle of the whole Contragate business is just, it's so perfect. It's so timely, you know. I mean, people must just be so, people at Arbor House, who published the book, must be just, so, you know, going, great, man, we could never have planned it this way. But here's this guy 2 years ago coming up with a plot dealing with the funding of and the involvement of the CIA in the funding of the Contras through American donations and the relationship between that and the IRA and money that goes to them and weapons and all this kind of, you know, pretty neat that the book comes out now. And that's the twist, is that it deals, the plot is about an ex-nun who was working with lepers in Nicaragua, and who comes back, and her father is one of these rich right-wing Americans who was donating money to this Somoza-type colonel, and what she wants to do is steal the money, and she aligns herself with a typical Elmore Leonard hero who is an ex-con, as most of them are, who is attempting somehow to sort of go straight in his life, but not really. I mean, he's not really too committed to it. And in the course of it, he learns something about Nicaragua, and he learns something about the mosquito Indians, and he learns something about commitment to an ideal. I mean, the real hero of the book is the nun, is Lucy, is the heroine. It's neat. It's real good. But like I said, you don't need me to turn you on to Elmore Leonard. And if you're not turned on to him, don't start with this one. Go back to something else. Go back to Stick or La Brava or Cat Chaser or one of those. Or start with Bandits. And you'll fall in love with him anyhow because he's great. He's real good. And in other literary news, I ripped this out of the paper a week or so ago. And because I was out last week, I never got a chance to turn you on to this little tidbit. Did you hear about this in Lowell, Massachusetts, at the end of last year, right at the end of December? The city council on December 30th approved a commemorative park to honor the author Jack Kerouac. I'm quoting from the UPI article here. Jack Kerouac, chronicler of the 1950s Beat Generation. The approval came despite arguments that the actions would glorify drug abuse. The lone dissenter, Lowell, Massachusetts, was Jack Kerouac's hometown, and it is where Jack Kerouac is buried. And Jack Kerouac, of course, is the author of On the Road and so many other classic American novels. Lone dissenter on the 7-member council, former mayor Brendan Fleming, said approval of the park would honor Kerouac's way of life, which he found objectionable. Quote, "There are people in this area and all across the United States who are trying to do something about the so-called drug problem and the abuse of alcohol, and here we are honoring an individual whose lifestyle is exactly that, the abuse of both alcohol and drugs," Mr. Fleming said. "I'm worried about a role model for kids. I'm not talking about what was written. I feel by our vote here tonight we are accepting that lifestyle." But Councilman Ray Rourke said the purpose of the park was to pay tribute to Kerouac's literary works and for the attention he brought to Lowell. I'm not concerned too greatly with Kerouac's way of life," Mr. Rourke said. "The man had been gone for a number of years now, Let God be the judge of his human frailties." So the state has given Lowell, state of Massachusetts has given Lowell a $100,000 grant to develop a park at the site of a city-owned warehouse that is scheduled to be torn down. The park will include 5 plaques bearing quotations from Kerouac's books, the quotation specifically dealing with Lowell, and another plaque will contain a quote from On the Road. "We felt the most appropriate way to remember Jack Kerouac was to highlight his literature." So isn't that interesting? Mentions Allen Ginsberg, of course, who was a friend. So Ginsberg was in Lowell earlier in 1986 for a benefit rock concert and poetry reading to raise money for the Kerouac Memorial. So probably sometime this year there will be a commemorative park to Jack Kerouac in Lowell, Massachusetts, which I think is a kind of a neat idea. And interesting that there was sort of a controversy, although it was just one member of the city council who objected. Because Kerouac, towards the end of his life, was exactly what this guy Fleming would have loved. I mean, Kerouac despised hippies. You know, I mean, he himself may have abused alcohol and drugs, but he despised the people who followed. Because Kerouac, towards the end of his life, became neurotic, to say the least. You know, but he was he had more in common with a sort of a conservative, almost neo-right sort of an attitude towards the world, towards the end of his life, than he did with the opposite of that. So, but I thought that was interesting literary news. Jack Kerouac Park to be erected in Lowell, Massachusetts. Let's see, what else do we have to do here? I think maybe we should take care of some business.
Okay, guys, another round before we watch the game.
Wally, don't switch TV channels.
But the game's on.
This is the Colbys.
That's what I came in to watch.
You came to Wally's Sports Bar to watch the Colbys?
Yeah.
I suppose you want me to serve quiche, too.
Wally, have you seen this February issue of Playboy? It's got these super photos of Stephanie Beecham.
Whoa.
You know, the one who plays Sable on the Colbys.
Not bad. bad. Mm. Not bad. But come on, let's watch the game.
Yeah. Let's take a vote. I'll just pass this Playboy around to the guys here.
Hey, let's see that.
Pick up the February Playboy. You'll find some sizzling photos of the Mafia Princess, an interview with the star of 9½ Weeks, Mickey Rourke, and a spectacular photo feature on Stephanie Beecham of the Colbys in the flesh.
Okay, guys, let's vote. All in favor of the game.
Stephanie!
February Playboy, the best game in town. At newsstands now.
You're animals. Just animals.
The people who service my car are pretty good. So do me a favor. Don't ask me to go someplace else.
If you're satisfied with the guys who service your car, stick with them. They're probably okay. But if you're not satisfied, do yourself a favor. Go to a Goodyear retailer for auto service. You see, he won't waste your time or your money. He works hard to do the job right the first time. Maybe that's why every month over 50,000 new customers are referred to Goodyear by satisfied customers. So if you need a tune-up, a brake job, or almost any other kind of car service, go to a Goodyear retailer. There's one nearby.
Put your car on the road with auto service you can trust from your Goodyear retailer. Whether it's a brake job, tune-up, or oil change, he has the professionals to get your car in shape at prices you can afford. See your participating tri-state area Goodyear retailers for service you can count on. Let their trained service staff put your car on the road.
You can't go another minute without a Hostess Twinkies cake. Sweet, creamy filling stuffed inside that golden sponge cake. Come on, what are you waiting for?
Oh, Hostess, what a sweet sensation.
92.3 K-Rock, Idiot's Delight, the name of the show. It's about 10 minutes past 10 on this 11th day of January. Hey, what do you want from life?
What do you want from life? To kidnap an heiress or threaten her with a knife? What do you want from life? To get cable TV and watch it every night? There you sit up, lump in your chair. Where do you sleep, man? What do you wear when you're sleeping? You met tonight. How can you tell when you're doing all right? Does your bank account swell while you're dreaming at night? How do you know when you're really in love? Do violence play when you're touching the one that you love?
What do you want from life?
citizen, you are entitled to a heated kidney-shaped pool, a microwave oven, don't watch the food cook, a diner gym. I'll personally demonstrate it in the privacy of your own home. A king-size, titanic, unsinkable Molly Brown waterbed with polybendum, a foolproof plan, and an airtight alibi. Real simulated Indian jewelry, a Gucci shoe tree, a year's supply of antibiotics, a personally autographed picture of Randy Mantooth, and Bob Dylan's new unlisted phone number. A beautifully restored Third Reich swizzle stick. Rosemary's Baby. A dream date in knee pads with Paul Williams. A new Matador. A new Mastodon. A Maverick. A Mustang. A Montego. A Merc Montclair. A Mark IV. A Meteor. A Mercedes. An MG. Or a Malibu. A Mark Moriarty. A Maserati. A Mack truck. A Mazda. A new Monza. Or a moped. A Winnebago. Hell, I've heard of Winnebagos. We're giving them away. Or how about a McCulloch chainsaw? A Las Vegas wedding. A Mexican divorce. Solid gold Kama Sutra coffee pot, or a baby's arm holding an apple.
A former talk show host, everybody knows his name. He said there's no doubt about it, it was a myth, the fingerprints. I've seen them all, and man, they're all the same. Well, the sun gets weary and the sun goes down, the Elvis is the watermelon, and the lights come up on the black tip down. Somewhere
there's a former army post abandoned now just like the war. And there's no doubt about it, it was the myth of fingerprints. That's what that old army post was for. Well, the sun gets bloody and the sun goes down ever since the watermelon, and the lights come up on the Blackfoot town. Lives the former talk show host. Far and wide his name was known. He said there's no doubt about it, it was the myth of fingerprints. That's why we must learn to live alone.
The song that Paul Simon recorded with Los Lobos. It's a song that ends the Graceland collection. Here's the brand new one from that California band, Los Lobos. On 92.3 K-Rock, this is called Shakin' Shakin' Shakes.
Shaking it, baby.
that one is for all of you who may be engaged in some form of exercise at the moment. You got the speakers cranked up if you're, at home near your speakers, or maybe you got your Walkman on, you're out running someplace or doing something, man. That one's for you. I always love it when I'm, out like doing a little run or something, listening to the radio on the Walkman. Some shaking kind of music like that comes on. You just get this extra spurt of energy. This real delightful thing comes over you and you think you're starring in your own movie. Los Lobos. That's the new one. Shaking Shakes. Co-produced by T-Bone Burnett along with the band, and it will be on an album called By the Light of the Moon. By the light of the silvery moon. I don't think I... No, maybe I shouldn't assume that that's not going to be on there. It's a, you and I would croon to my honey, I'd all of you. Is everybody happy? Shaking. And all around the world are the Myth of Fingerprints from Paul Simon. Isn't it nice that Paul Simon's album, even though it hasn't gotten played on the radio as much as it should, became a hit anyhow last year. And still is, way up there on the charts, selling a whole lot of copies, and is one of the albums listed at the top of just about everybody's 10 best list, all the critics and all the people who have to comprise those silly lists at the end of the year. The album is certainly honored both critically and commercially as well, even though stupid, dumb old radio, with a minor exception here and there, has pretty much ignored the recording. But that's the way stupid, dumb old radio is these days, friends. You know that. I know that. That's why we get together on Sunday mornings and sort of thumb our nose at it. Here on that. And isn't it nice? It's stupid, dumb old 92.3 K-Rock. Let's just do it. Now, I may be taking a few weeks off. We started off that set with What Do You Want From Life from the two. Actually, I am taking a few weeks off, as a matter of fact. I don't want you to get paranoid now, because you'll tune in next week and I won't be here. And you go, oh, no, they fired Vin. Yeah, I'm thinking I won't be on the air for a couple of weeks. And we're trying to plan some kind of interesting things for the next two Sunday mornings in terms of what you'll be hearing here between 9 and 12, and who will be hosting the show. We're trying to bring in a couple of guest hosts. And I can't say anything more than that because things aren't firmly committed yet, but there ought to be something interesting going on here for the next two Sundays, as opposed to what usually goes on here, which is me, so... We started off, as I said, with the Tubes. What Do You Want From Life?
It won't be Albert.
What? No, it won't be Albert. It definitely won't be Albert. What Do You Want From Life? A couple of weeks off from the radio. That'll do. I don't need Bob Dylan's unlisted phone number. Thank you very much. And a neat new thing by a band called The Wallets. The Wallets. One of the Twin Tone bands, if you're hip to that label, Twin Tone. This is an album. The thing that... There were two things that the Wallets had going for them, being like a totally new band for me that I'd never heard of, read anything about. It was just one of those albums that was in the pile of to be listened to. And I looked at it, and the first thing was it was on Twin Tone, and I have an enormous amount of respect for that label, and the people they put out. And the other thing was the album is produced by Alan Toussaint down in New Orleans. And as soon as I saw that, I said, I got to check this out. And it's a real funky album, and it's a lot funkier than that particular tune that I played. I Want to Go to Hollywood, but that's the one that served my purposes for right now. I think I'll play something else from The Wallets. And I think I might even play I Want to Go to Hollywood again, because I dug it so much hearing it on the radio now. That segued into Paul Simon, because of the accordion thing there. The Wallets also feature an accordion, as does Los Lobos from time to time, and specifically there on Simon's All Around the World. And that brings us to this.
Cough has turned your throat to paste. You want relief and good taste. Throats get fixed with Vicks.
Problem throat? You want a Vicks throat drop. It's real relief and really delicious.